Now it's nice to be back with you again for the gospel. In Kennaway, I apologize if my voice doesn't last the length of the meeting. My wife has been telling me I've been suffering from man flu all week, so we will try and get through there. I also don't know if it's a coincidence, but Fraser has booked an Irishman to preach the gospel on St. Patrick's Day. But we're not here to celebrate St. Patrick. There is three portions of scripture I would like to read with you tonight. And they're all questions that we find in the Word of God. And the first you'll find in Nehemiah chapter 2. The book of Nehemiah in chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 6. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him. And this is the question I want to consider. For how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? For how long shall thy journey be? I want to write over that, the journey of life. Over now to the gospel according to Mark. Mark's gospel in chapter 8. Mark's gospel chapter 8 and verse number 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I want to write over that, the value of your soul. James chapter 4. You can tell when you're nervous when you start looking for James in the Old Testament. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse number 13 we'll read. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And we trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his word. In the last number of days, these questions have been coming before my mind. A few weeks ago, I thought I had the message that I would preach in Kennaway sorted out. I thought that I would be speaking on something completely different, but in the last number of days, these portions of Scripture have been coming very, very forcibly upon my mind. And I just want to try, with the help of God tonight, to bring them before you and leave them with you in the message of the gospel. I want to say from the very outset of our meeting, can I say, I am not a theologian. I'm not a Bible scholar of any shape or form. And better preachers will come and stand before you. But tonight, my dear friend, I have a burden upon my heart for the people of Kennaway. And I want to think about the journey of life. The journey that we're all on, I want to think about the value of a soul that we all have. And I want to think about the brevity of life. We've read in Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse number 6, How long shall thy journey be? I just noticed it this afternoon as I was reading this verse again. I have put something in my margin a long time ago and has almost faded. And this is what it says concerning that question. A question that cannot be answered. A question that cannot be answered, my dear friends, by anyone tonight in our gospel meeting. Because as far as the journey of life is concerned, we don't know how long we're going to be here for. We don't know how long the Lord is going to allow us to breathe air. We know not the day of our death. Perhaps it is that what I am taking up tonight is solemn. Perhaps there's someone tonight and you've come along to the gospel meeting and we're very glad to see you and thank you for coming. And you were under the impression that you were coming to hear a message of good news, but you think that the Irishman before you is going to slit you and be all morbid. My dear friend, there's no better news than knowing that we're not here to stay. There's no better news than knowing that you have a soul within your bosom that will live the lifetime of God. And there's no better news than knowing that there is no guarantee of tomorrow. My dear friend, I told it the last time I was here when I was giving my testimony. I was born and brought up in a Christian home. And that was a great privilege for me. And I thought as I was in my unsaved days that there was men that would come to the Lungs Gospel Hall and you know, they weren't very good to listen to. And perhaps you've got one of them tonight. And I thought that I could get on the platform and I could preach better than they could. And I knew all the gospel verses, but my dear friend, the best news I heard was in the year 2000 in the month of April when a gospel preacher come to the Lungs Gospel Hall and he told me I was going to perish if I wasn't saved. My dear friend, we could come tonight and we could tell you some sort of a fairy tale story and tickle you behind your ears and send you away. But the reality is this, we are on a journey. We started upon that journey at birth. And we know not when that journey is going to end, and it could be tonight. And my dear friend, there's only two destinies before us. As we go out into the great eternity, there's heaven if you're saved. I'm going to be in heaven, let me ask you, will you be there? Well, there's hell and a lake of fire for those that will reject Christ. And the question is coming from Nehemiah chapter 2, how long? How long shall thy journey be? My dear friend, the journey of life. I don't know how long you've been on the journey. Looking around, there's those that have been on it longer than others. Do you know that journey of life will come to an end at any given moment? We read in the scripture again, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Sadly, we heard in the news just this week, a man 28 or 29 years of age, ushered out into God's eternity. A man that got up, I believe, to be healthy and well, and went to his work, left behind a partner and a family. Tonight he's in eternity. And my dear friend, that has searched my soul in this last number of days, as I think that perhaps it is that we're coming along to the Gospel Hall in Kennedy and Kennaway. It's not bare thinking about, dear friend. But what if it was that we were speaking to some soul tonight? The last time. What if this was to be the last gospel meeting that you were to be in? Now, we're not here, dear friends, we're not here to play in your emotions. We're not here to play in your feelings. We're not here to try and put the fear of God into you. That's not in our thinking. But tonight, my dear friend, we're dealing with eternal realities. We're dealing with eternal realities, and we're on the journey of life, and we've all started on the journey. Let me say this, we've all started as sinners. My dear friend, in this gospel meeting tonight, the moment you breathed your first, what is the word of God? Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We're all on the journey of life, and we're all sinners. The word of God says again, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It was by Adam's fall and his sin in the garden that every man and woman and boy and girl born from then on to now has been born in sin. You say, that's not my fault. And that's a reasonable stance to take. Do you know, my dear friend, it is your responsibility. As you've gathered in the gospel meeting tonight, I know a few faces, but I don't know anyone, very few people here. It is your responsibility if you're gathered here for the first time tonight, or whether you're accustomed to coming to the gospel meeting, if you have heard the gospel once, you are responsible for where you will be in eternity. Have you ever stopped to wonder what this life is all about? Why you're here? Where you're going? When your lease of time runs out? Maybe you've been far too busy, trying hard to reach your goal. Would you let me ask you kindly? Let me ask you, dear friend, have you ever thought about your soul? My dear friend, you're different from the animals, from the beasts of the fields, and from the fowls of the air. God created them, yes, and God created you. But we read in the first book of the Bible that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And you have a soul within your bosom, my dear friend, that will live the lifetime of God in eternity. And as I've said before, in one of two places. Let me ask you tonight, are you seeing? You see, my dear friend, I didn't come again to Kennaway tonight. I wasn't asked here for a recruitment drive for the Gospel Hall. I'm not here to fill seats. But I'm here in a recruitment drive for heaven. It matters not to me, my dear friend, where you hang your hat on a Lord's Day morning. It matters to me where you will be in eternity. Let me ask you tonight, are you saved? Is there a moment in your life's experience that you can look back to when you seen your need as a sinner and you got before God and you got to Calvary and realized that you were only a sinner and you put your faith and trust in that finished work. And you rested all on the man of Calvary. And you started for heaven and you started for home. My dear friend, if you haven't got Christ for eternity, you've got nothing. I say that with love and I say it with feeling. But I don't want anyone to go away from the gospel meeting tonight confused. If you haven't got Christ for eternity, you've got nothing. Nothing more than faith in Christ is needed. Anything less won't do. All your works, all your paying, all your praying, to no avail, my dear friend. The work has been paid. The work has been done and the price has been paid at Calvary. Let me ask you tonight, are you saved? I'm not asking you if you were born, if you went to the Sunday school. I'm not asking you if you were being confirmed. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized or christened or whatever. I'm asking you tonight, are you saved? And only you can answer that question in the quietness before a holy God. Are you saved? Let me say tonight, if you're not saved, you're lost. You're lost. You're far away from God. But let me tell you tonight, there's salvation for you. There's salvation for you. The journey of life that we're all on. The journey of life that we started in sin and we're going on in sin. I want to come on to my second point. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Have you ever given any consideration to your soul? Have you ever put a value on your soul? Last night, you know, we had some people around at our house after the meeting in Kinross. And some may know and you may not know, but I'm an auctioneer by trade, and we were just talking about my work and about various things that we sell, and a woman said to me, "How do you know the value of things?" And my simple answer was, I know the value of something is just how much somebody's prepared to pay for it. Now, let me bring that down to you tonight in our gospel meeting. How do you value your soul? What are you prepared to give for your soul? Can I tell you what Christ gave for your soul? He gave himself. He gave himself. He left the splendors, the beauty, the glory of heaven. He came down into this sudden cursed scene. We've been singing it tonight. Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came. Born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Why did he come, my dear friend? It was because he loved sinners like I and sinners like you. That he left the portals of glory and came down and he went to the cross of Calvary. What it must have been for the Savior of the world to be born in Bethlehem. What it must have been for him to grow up as a man amongst men, to be despised and rejected. What it must have been for him, my dear friend, just to carry his cross up Golgotha's hill. What it must have been for him, you know. Going through the Garden of Gethsemane. Going through Pilate's judgment hall, that perfect, that sinless, spotless Son of God. Do you believe that he's sinless? Do you believe that he's different from everyone else? Because he is the holy, spotless Lamb of God. No contagion touched his soul. Absolute perfection. He was the one that would go to Calvary because he loved you. He was the one that would go to Calvary and lay down his life a sacrifice for sin. The scripture says, no man can take my life from me. I lay it down of myself. That's love, my dear friend. I have a one-year-old daughter and I wouldn't give her for the very best of earth. My dear friend, God gave his only son for the very worst of earth. Let me tell you tonight in Kinnaway, he gave his son for you. He gave him for you. From the youngest to the oldest. Let me tell you, Christ died for you. Christ died for you. When he laid down his life on Calvary's cross, he took your sin upon his shoulders. He took the penalty and the judgment that was due to us, and he bore it all there on the cross of Calvary. Is that not love? That's the value that the God of heaven puts upon your soul. Let me ask you. What are you going to be profited, my dear friend, if you gain the world and lose your soul? One has well said, to lose your wealth is much. To lose your health is more. To lose your soul is such a loss. No man can restore. Where are you tonight? In light of the great journey of life, we know not when it will end. You know, it could just be gone in a moment. We think of another great question, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, lose his own soul? It would be an awful thing for you, my dear friends, to be gathered in a gospel hall, to sing these lovely hymns and to hear the word of God read, to live your life and die in your sin. be an awful thing, you know. Who then can you blame? You can't blame the believers in Kennaway. Lord's Day after Lord's Day, they open the door of the hall. They invite someone to come to open and preach the Word of God. You can't blame the God of heaven. Why? Because He gave His Son to die for you at Calvary. You can't say, no one has told me. Let me tell you tonight, my dear friend, just so that we're clear, there's salvation for you through the finished work of Christ. You say, how can we get it? It's very simple. Think of the words of the Philippine jailer. That was another question we could have read. That was a great question that was asked. I trust there's someone tonight in our gospel meeting and you're asking the same question. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? I'm going to give you the same answer that was given to the Philippian jailer all those years ago. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. End. He says, is it really as simple as that? Is that really the simplicity of the gospel? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. My dear friend, that's how simple it is. That's how simple it is. Tonight, my dear friend, there's drug addicts in heaven. Through the simplicity of believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's millionaires tonight in heaven through the simplicity of believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's millions on their way to heaven tonight because of believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Let me ask you, why is it not good enough for you? Why is the death of Christ and the blood that was shed at the place called Calvary not good enough for you? You say, I want something more. It's all right for these other people, but it's just not enough for me, and I need to add my little bit, and I need to do my little something. My dear friend, if it's not good enough for you, you're just going to have to go to hell because there's nothing else for you. There's nothing else for you. It's Christ and Christ alone. What about James chapter 4? For what is your life? There's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. This verse was explained to me in Sunday school, and I've never forgot it, and this is the illustration that was used. You go, you boil a kettle. You watch that kettle boiling. You see the vapor arising. One moment it's there. Next moment it's gone. That's our life. How long the journey is going to be, no one knows. Bible says 70 years and 10 by reason of strength, 80. Some have never reached 10, sadly, never mind the 70 years and 10. Yes, some live a long life and are over 100. Do you know, if the Lord be not come, our life will just be that, like that vapor. We'll come and we'll go. There's another verse that comes to mind. I'm going to read it in case I quote it wrong. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 14, I think it is. 2 Samuel 14, verse 14. For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth He devise means that His banished be not expelled from Him. Is there really that first part I want to think of? that has caught my attention. For we must needs die. You know, we're living in a world and we're taken up with statistics. It was either this week or last week, you know, I heard some statistics on the radio. And if my memory serves me right, I think it's in the UK, 73% of the population prefer tea to coffee. And 34% of people are prepared to stay in the UK for their holidays. And that's 34% of the population that needs their heads examined. But we're living in a day of statistics. Let me give you another statistics. According to this verse, if the Lord be not come, 10 out of 10 people die. 100 out of 100 people die. What does the Bible say? That it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. My dear friend, we leave you tonight. These are solemn realities that we've brought before you. I have felt the burden of them in my own soul. It seems to be that we're living in a life that it's frivolous and light-hearted. And really we've lost grasp and we've lost sight of the reality of everything, that we're just in this life to prepare for the next life. And men are going about their daily business and have no thought of tomorrow. And they've no thought of God, and they've no thought of eternity. My dear friend, I urge you, I implore with you, I plead with you tonight. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Perhaps there's someone tonight and you say, well, I'm just young. And I come to the Sunday school, and I'm happy to come to the gospel meetings to keep my mom and dad happy. But really, I have got big plans for life. And really, I don't really want to be bothered with this whole Christianity thing. And my friends would mock me and my friends would laugh me. And perhaps you say, give me just a little longer. For the world seems oh so bright. When I feel that I am dying, I'll get saved. But not tonight. My dear friend, if you want to get saved tonight, let me tell you what God says. Let me tell you what the Word of God says. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let me take you to Calvary again before we close. There was a man holy and just and true. This was the man that done all these miracles that we can read about in the New Testament. This was the Lord Jesus Christ that could take 5 loaves and 2 small fishes and feed 5,000 men. This is the man that could heal the leper. This is the man that could stand at the grave of Lazarus and say, cry, Lazarus, come forth. This is the man that could heal the blind. This is the man that could heal the lame. This is the man that went to the cross of Calvary to pay the price of your sin. My dear friend, we want you to get to Calvary tonight. We want you to see one with arms outstretched and nailed to an old rugged cross. We want you to hear about the man tonight who cried, it is finished. The work of salvation was complete. Nothing left to do. Nothing left to pay. Simply come as you are, as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And rest there and know your soul is saved for all eternity. What does the verse say that we've quoted you about the Philippian jailer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. No ifs, no buts, no doubts. Believe, have, and start on the road to glory. We're not going to leave you with Christ on the tree. Christ is no longer on the tree. And we're not going to leave you with Christ in the tomb, because Christ is no longer in the tomb. My dear friend, Christ has risen the third day. And he's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, a Prince and a Savior. Tonight he has arms outstretched and he's crying to some dear soul tonight, come. The Word of God says, come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's many religions tonight in the world, and we're not here to preach religion. And their faith is in a man that is in the tomb. My dear friend, we present one to you tonight who has been to the cross, who has passed through the grave. Tonight he's in the glory. Do you know to what else tonight, my dear friend? He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your Savior. Do you want to be saved tonight? Do you want to be able to go home and put your head on the pillow and know that all is well for the great eternity? The night I got saved, you know, I slept. I never slept like it before, and I've never slept like it since. Why? Because the great matter of my soul's salvation was sorted out. Two roads before you lie. You, the choice must make. One leads upward to the sky, the other downward to the lake. How long shall thy journey be? The journey of life. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The value of a soul. We have Christ's value. He gave himself for you. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We're not here to stay. We're just passing through. Perhaps the greatest question of all, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Shall we pray?